Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, and listeners. I'm the Filipino podcasting machine, Princey D, and with me, as always, the man formerly known as Timbo Slice, Timmy B. Before we start, please take a moment to follow and subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever you get your pods and leave five-star reviews. If you'd like to support the show, check out middaysquares.com and use Fight Insight 15 to save 15% on your first order. On today's episode, we host our inaugural year-end awards. Who takes home the honors? Let's find out. Tim, hit it!
Yeah, it's Timmy B, Princey D, Fight Insight. Yeah.
All right, Prince. So for our inaugural awards, we need people to help us with picking the winners. And of course, we went to our fans on Instagram. We got some votes, but we're going to get a special guest in here, a former guest of the show, two-time guest of the show. He is our resident medical expert, normally talks to us about injuries, but he is a esteemed student of the game. Prince, please welcome to the show,
Dr. J!
How you doing, Jimmy?
How's it going, boys? How's it going?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, man. I'm doing great. Glad to be back. Glad to be back. What an intro. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever introed you like that before, have we?
Maybe.
You know what? I've actually looked at the archives. Never. This is actually the first time. And plus, the intro, I had like a fade out too. It was like,
Beautifully done. Beautifully done.
Jim, you can see we're getting better and better. Now, here's the thing. So, if we're going to do votes, right, for these, we have six categories today. Mm-hmm. The problem is we've got one, two, three, plus the fan vote as four. So, what can we do for a tiebreaker? Prince, I think what we are going to do is we will get one more judge into the mix. So, ladies and gentlemen, a surprise to Prince, a surprise to Dr. Jimmy from California, we've got Matt Queso Padilla.
What, Queso? What?
What's up, guys?
How's it going, Matt?
Not bad. How are you guys? I hope you could hear me. I couldn't get find my headphones for this one.
No, buddy. You're perfect, man. How's everything in California? You doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Got a new job, trying to adjust that, you know?
Nice. And it's thanks to Matt that we had Joe Daddy Stevenson on our podcast a few weeks ago. So thanks, man. That was awesome.
Of course. I'm glad you guys were able to schedule with the busiest man in the world that I know. I'm sure that was a struggle, but it paid off.
No, it was awesome, man. And this is Dr. Jim. This is our resident medical expert. He talked to us before about calf kicks. He's talked to us about, what was the other thing, Jim? The calf kicks? And then what was the other one?
Concussions. We did talk about concussions.
That's right. We did a concussion one. And we're supposed to have you on to talk about that Khalil Roundtree kick.
The side kick. Yeah. The knee devastator. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Matt, before we get to the awards, what is your opinion on that kind of kick? The oblique kick, right? Like the
definitely a controversial one, and I always see it compared in like every comment section that has to do with it. Like, oh well, a knee bar does the same thing, so shouldn't that be illegal? But it's completely different because you actually got the chance to tap to that.
Yeah.
Compared to just getting your leg obliterated instantly.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's a tough one, man. Like, I don't know. But anyways, we will get to that. Prince, let's start with the year-end awards.
Yeah, let's go. Let's start it up.
All right. Prince seems excited. So for the first award, we are going to do Breakout Star of the Year. So for Breakout Star of the Year, we have four candidates. Again, we went to the fans and we asked, you know, for their nominations, but they wrote in some names. So there's going to be some categories where actually someone that wasn't listed won the fan vote, which might make it difficult. But for Breakout Star of the Year, we've got Chris Curtis, Ricky Tercios, Mano Fiorat, and Chris Barnett. How do we want to start this? We want to see what the fans said first.
Let's just compliment the poster first there. Just throw that in there. Sorry, guys, just to cut the silence a little bit. Sorry. Yeah, it took me 8 hours of my time. There you go. Yeah. Look at that, man. Look at the borders.
That is
beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, yes. Thank you. That's all Prince. Look at the photo selection. He was very proud of that.
Oh, I like that Ricky Tercios one.
Damn it, Matt. That's the one he was most proud of.
Oh my gosh, man. I had to unlock that bad boy. Oh my gosh.
All right, Matt, we'll give you the honors. What do you think is your breakout star of the year?
It's a little unfair because it's definitely going to be biased towards me. Chris Curtis, I've known the guy for years. This guy deserved it. I've been saying way back before, I was like, there's people outside of the UFC that could be champion and you don't even know it. And Curtis has been one of those guys for the longest time. And he's finally breaking out in front of everybody's eyes. And I love it. He deserves it.
Yeah, he had 6 fights in 2021. 2 of them he took on short notice. He had 2 in the UFC, both of them KO. And I think both of them not even in his weight class.
Is yeah, right? He's a natural welterweight. And he told me, because I saw him, I trained with him, I think it was in like July or something, but it was before he got into the UFC. And I saw him in Vegas and he said, oh, well, my plan is get 10 fights this year. And if they don't sign me, then I'll just retire into the sunset as a legend. And I was like, that sounds pretty good. And he got the call, and now he's making money and doing everything he's wanted to do.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. All right, Matt, so your vote is for Chris Curtis. Dr. Jim.
Yeah.
Who do you have?
I really like Menon Fierot for her performance. The sheer aggression, her stand-up game is just ridiculous. I love the way that she takes it to her opponents. She's had some incredible knockouts in the last couple of fights that she's had. She would be my pick as the breakout star. I really like Chris Barnett as well, just because he's such a character, right? Like, you know, phenomenal performance. That wheel kick is just not, like, if you look at that in slow motion, he's practically in the splits. A man of that size able to move like that is a phenomenal feat, but I really like Menon as my breakout star.
All right. Princey, who do you got?
Listen, I don't want to be biased, but I'm picking Ricky Tercios just because he's half Filipino, half El Salvadorian, tough winner, 29. And plus the man broke nunchucks with me during a live podcast. That, like, I actually didn't ask for it. The guy went over there, grabbed his dueling too. He was doing the both nunchucks. So I've got Ricky Tercios. And plus on top of that, he's very inspirational, does a lot of work with kids. And so that's my pick.
Yeah. He's technically really 1-0 for the year, although he did have the 2 fights in the tough competition as well. Menon Fierot, like you said, Jim, she's 3-0 in the UFC for the year with 2 TKOs and 1 unanimous decision. That unanimous decision, oh boy, that was a slaughtering that she did. The fans voted, and you know, this is what happened in many of our categories. We would tag all the nominees. Some of the nominees would repost, and they got their army to vote. So I'll tell you, Ricky Tercios' fans came by the boatload to vote for Ricky. Wow. So Ricky won by like 70% of the vote. He got a huge, huge following to come and vote for him. So you can tell the award was very important to him. So that's going to be 2 votes for Ricky. Man, I was a toss-up. I was either going to go for Menon or Ricky. Matt, I feel like I'm going to really put you on the hot seat here because I'm going to vote for Menon. I think Menon is the one to take out Bullet Valentina when she gets her chance. She's got an upcoming match against Jessica Ai. I think she's going to do very well there, and I think she's going to set herself up for a title shot by the end of 2022. Mm-hmm. So we're going to say that it's a tie 2-2 between Menon and Ricky. Matt, I apologize. I'm going to need you to pick between the two to decide our winner.
For me personally, I think, you know, breakout means you got the most eyes on you, and that's got to be Ricky Tercios.
Yes.
There you go. All right. So that's our winner for the breakout star of the year. We're going to go with Ricky Tercios. He will be very, very happy.
Just to let you guys know, our Instagram was down for a whole day just because of the amount of votes that we're getting. Thanks a lot, Ricky. Thanks. Appreciate it. Bud.
Really stunted our growth, Ricky.
Real.
All right.
One job.
For the next award, we are going to go to Male Fighter of the Year. This one is a good one, man. There were tons of contenders, but we narrowed it down to these four on our official list. You've got Kamaru Usman, Glover Teixeira, Charles Oliveira, and Rafael Fiziev. I will go to Jimmy.
Okay. This is a tough one. You know, just looking at their records in 2021, for me, it was a toss-up. You know, my heart is with Glover just because, like, this is a guy who's, you know, he's getting on, in his career. Finally got that belt. The guy's a phenomenal fighter. But when you look at the stats, TKO, KO, unanimous decision, three fights, three wins in 2021. I got to go with Kamaru Usman. The guy is just, he's a machine. He's phenomenal. He's got, his stand-up game has improved tremendously. Look what he did with Masvidal. Like, it was just shocking how much power he's able to generate. I got to go with Kamaru Usman as my male fighter of the year.
Ooh, that is going to be quite a heavy pick. Matt, who do you got?
For me, it was more of a coin toss between Oliveira and Usman. I mean, when you look at Oliveira, and it was one less fight in the year for him, but it was also at such a crazy level, at such a crazy weight class. But I'm probably going to have to lean towards Kamaru Usman as well, just doing what he's done at that weight class.
Oh, man, that's crazy. Because I thought you were going to go with Oliveira, because, I mean, with the wins over Chandler and Dustin, those are like top names, man.
I mean, they are, but just seeing Usman able to stay where he's at longer, I'd have to lean towards him.
All righty, so that's two for Usman. Prince, who do you got?
Listen, I've got Usman as well, just because find a man who can come into a pre-fight wearing cheetah print suit. The sheer confidence.
Yeah.
He rolled in, I think he rolled in with a turtleneck too. It was like a 98 degrees Christmas special. So I got Usman for sure, just because of three successful defenses. Yeah, no one's going to top him. He's the fighter of the year.
Anybody that can rock a ladies Zara tiger print suit is pretty killer, man. I don't know. Let's see. The fans are unanimous with you guys. They gave 70% vote to Usman. So that's four votes already for Usman. My vote doesn't count. But just to put it out there in the universe, I'm saying Rafael Fiziev got my vote, being 2-0 for the year. He had the unanimous decision fight against Bobby Green, who everybody knows is like one of my favorite fighters of all time. That fight was insanity. And then he goes out and knocks out his good friend, Brad Quake Riddell from Tiger Muay Thai in performance of the night. He had the fight of the night and both of his callouts on both of those fights. The first fight, he calls out Hezbollah, right? Nobody else dares call out Hezbollah.
It's true.
No, yeah, Matt. I mean, and then the second one, he keeps going, What's that guy's name again? Oh, yeah, Vince Vaughn. I want you. And he calls out Vince Vaughn. Look, he's making great callouts. He's making himself very personable. I do think he's a threat in the lightweight division. So I was giving it to him. Great, great guy. But the winner goes to Kamaru Usman with a 4-1 vote. So congratulations to Kamaru Usman, Male Fighter of the Year. I think everybody thinks this guy's Male Fighter of the Year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Heavy. Yeah. All righty. Our next award is going to go to the Female Fighter of the Year. I feel like this one's going to be a great conversation. This is a tough one. For our picks, we went with Lupi Godinez, former guest of the show, Rose Namajunas, Juliana Pena with the proper ellipses on the end, and Stamp Fairtex from 1FC. We've talked about her a lot on the podcast because of the Grand Prix that she was the winner of. So I will go to Prince. Who do you have as your Female Fighter of the Year?
Okay, so guys, just to let you know, I had to correct all the posters because I didn't have the little N at the top. And I had to do that for all of them. Tim's like, you better go fix it right now. I'm like, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So my pick would be Thug Rose. Thug Rose is my pick. Two successful defenses against a very tough opponent. And, you know, you've seen her rise up to where she is now. Like, it looks like she's unstoppable. No one can stop her. I just feel like she is the female fighter of the year. That's my pick.
That's a good call. That's a good choice. I will go next. I'm very confused over this one. I don't know what to do. But being one of the only people in North America that watches ONE FC, I feel like I feel like I'm going to go with Stamp Fairtex. You know, like, to win that Grand Prix, I think she was an underdog throughout the whole tournament. I don't think we were picking her. We had Denise Zamboanga as a heavy favorite. Mm-hmm. We had Sohee Ham as a heavy favorite. And as the tournament went on, you had Ritu Foget as a heavy favorite. She showed impressive ground game, man. Like, she submits Ritu in the finals of that Grand Prix. Now, she lost a fight at the beginning of the year, bounces back with three wins. She wins by unanimous decision, split decision, and a submission in her last three fights throughout the Grand Prix. So really, really good fights for her, man. I thought she did very well. And she's such a cool character. Like, you watch her Instagram and, like, all her dancing and her walkouts to the cage. Like, she's a great character. She's, like, going to be the face of ONE FC if she can win that title. So I'm going with Stamp Fairtex for my vote. Matt, what do you got?
How many fights did Thug Rose have this year?
Thug Rose had two, both against Wei Li.
Two.
Yeah, I feel like when you think of the year award, it really boils down to activity, not just like the highest level. Like I said, that's kind of why I lean towards Usman. He had one extra over Oliveira at the highest level. And that's why I'm going to lean towards Stamp Fairtex as well.
Whoa, I would not have expected that. All right. Do you watch a lot of ONE FC, Matt? Are you the other guy in North America that watches?
Yeah, I do like to watch because one of my buddies used to train here a lot at Team Quest, Aguilan Tani. He's over at ONE FC.
Oh, nice, nice, cool. Can I ask, Matt, like, because you are an amateur fighter looking to go pro shortly, right? Yeah. Shortly-ish, yeah?
Hopefully.
All right, nice. We'll see. Is ONE FC, like, in the, you know, like, in the fighter world, is ONE FC like an organization that people aspire to, like in North America?
Yeah, I've definitely heard people like inside of my gym even say that they've wanted to at least fight out there. So especially Ryzen as well, since it's pretty much the new pride and you could do different things like soccer kick. I don't know why. Maybe we're all a little twisted if that's something we want to do.
I can't wait to pick up someone's head top. That's amazing. Yeah.
No, that's cool, man. No, I like ONE FC has a whole different vibe, right? Like, it's interesting to know if people want to go there. I thought Kevin Lee was going to sign with ONE FC. I really
that
thought
that's great.
Yeah, I thought so. That's where I thought he was going to go. All right. So we've got two votes for Stamp, one vote for Rose. Dr. Jim, who is your vote?
This is a deep pool, and it's really tough to choose because you got Rose, who's got, you know, two title defenses against probably one of the fiercest 115s out there in Wei Li. You got Stamp Fairtex, which, you know, three wins, four fights this year, three wins, one loss. But like you said, came back, won those three, you know, split decision, unanimous, and a submission, which is phenomenal. But then you got Pena. She's got two fights and two submissions this year, and arguably the upset of the year. But I got to, you know what? I got to go with the crowd here. I love watching Stamp Fairtex fight. She has this, she's got this beautiful, maybe I'm a sucker. That's my, you know, my bias. I love good Muay Thai. I love watching good, solid striking, beautiful, like everything that she does in there looks phenomenal. And her ability to, you know, utilize her Muay Thai into the ground game, like to go from the clinch and, you know, take down from the clinch. I got to go with Stamp again. With you, I'm with you guys. I think she's phenomenal, and she's got to be my pick for the year.
Guys, just a quick ad lib. We also called out that made that prediction for the Pena fight as well, second round submission. Just a quick reminder. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Prince called it to the T. And
I can't believe it.
I do think Pena would have been female fighter of the year had she had maybe, like you say, Matt, one more fight and a little bit more high profile, because even her first fight of the year wasn't like a huge high profile fight, although it was, but you know, it wasn't on people's radar a lot. So
yeah.
I will go to the fans just to give the heads up, and we really should mention, but Lupi Godinez, who went 2-2 for the year, she had 3 fights in 42 days, setting the UFC record, right? She received 75% of the vote. Again, she shared our story, and her people came in droves to vote for Lupi, man. Like, it was getting crazy. My phone was just bing, 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 constant with the Lupi votes. Lupi Godinez, amazing person. She's gonna be amazing fighter, right? Like, in her division, I really see great things for her, and she's like such a good person too. So Lupi did get the vote from the fans, but our winner for female fighter of the year is Prince
Stamp Vertex. Stamp Vertex, unbelievable. Like,
yeah,
come on guys, like,
would not have thought.
No love for Thug Rose. Like, come on, head kicks. No
guy. There's still more categories. Don't worry, we still got more categories.
Yeah, maybe she'll win something else. Maybe Jim has just given away his vote. I don't know. All right, what are we gonna do next? Next, I think we're going to do submission of the year. And so again, we're gonna put the graphic up on the screen. If you're not watching on YouTube and you're listening on Spotify, come and check it out on YouTube to acknowledge Prince's great work here with the 0.5 font on the screen, which is
I did that all in Adobe Photoshop.
All right, so we've got Amanda Nunes inverted triangle armbar over Megan Anderson. You've got Julian Arosa, Juicy J, with the Darce choke over Charles Jourdain. Kazmat Chiemev with the rear naked choke on Li Jingliang. And you've got Juliana Pena with the rear naked choke over Amanda Nunes. Whose turn is it to start here? I think it's... Or, well, let's let the fans start on this one. So, submission of the year. The fan vote went 43% Pena versus Nunes. Might be because it was most recent in their memory or because of the shock factor, but the fans have voted for Pena versus Nunes. Matt, let's start with you. What do you got?
I could see that, but that also feels like it falls into a different category, like upset of the year. It was not even a sunken in submission. It was more of a crank over the teeth, if anything.
How dare you, Matt? It was a perfect submission. And if Juliana Pena sees this, we do not side with Matt Padilla.
Hey, she made her quit.
I'll give
you that. So technically a submission, but I feel like I've got to go with Hamza on this one. Drama on that one and the dominance in that one. It was just, especially coming back off of COVID, it was something I couldn't even believe when I was watching it. Just the same exact guy against a way higher level guy.
Yeah. Like, no fear, no nothing. And let's take a look at that submission. Here we go.
These are big shots by Chimaev. Yeah,
looks so tight. He's trying to turn in the leaves just as tough as they come.
Yeah, he's working. He's trying to hand his hand. It's over, boss. It's over. That is it.
And just goes out. That was a tough one. So, Matt, you've got Kazmat, Dr. Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you pick for submission of the year?
Again, it's another great deep pool of choices here. My two that I struggled with was Khamzat and Lee, and also Arosa and Jourdain. And the reason why the Arosa Jourdain one, I'll tell you why. So that fight went, it was a stand-up fight the entire time. It was in beautiful exchanges. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Arosa gets Jourdain, and then he puts him in the Darce. And you don't see that a lot in UFC. And so that, to me, makes it like in my top two. But then you have Khamzat, and this guy, like, just pretty much, you know, he picked up Lee, walked him around, talking through the cage, so much confidence in his demeanor in the ring there, and then in the cage, and then puts out Lee. You know, not even a tap. You know, you got to give Lee tons of credit, right? Like, this guy, he took it right to the end. Yep. And he was willing to go, you know, until he was lights out. So I give him tons of respect for that. If I were to choose between the two, I think I also have to go with Khamzat and Lee as well.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Damn. But Arosa Jourdain was like right up there for me. Those two definitely up at the top.
especially with watching Jourdain last weekend when he fought Hughes. Holy crap, that fight was incredible, man. Jourdain, and that last did you see that fight, Matt?
I think I missed that one, but I have been high on Jourdain for a while.
Matt, you got to go back and watch that fight. The best thing about that fight is at the end, like in the last 2 seconds, they're screaming at one another, and the opponent puts his hands down and goes, ah, and then Jourdain just teep kicks him straight in the chest and makes him fly against the cage. Like, it was the best ending of a fight you've ever seen. Like, it didn't stop him, but like just that last second hit, ridiculous, man.
Like it was like a Spartan kick, like a straight Spartan kick. Right.
Yeah, amazing, man. Okay, Prince, before I let you go, I will do my vote. So we've got two votes for Khamzat, one vote for Pena. And my vote is going to go for Erosa on Jourdain. Hmm. I thought I was the one that wanted that fight on the nomination list. I thought that fight was beautiful. Juicy J is such a weird character to me too. Like, he's such a good fighter, but he just seems so under the radar. And just even just like his look, like he looks just like just such a normal guy, right? Like, you know, he just just looks so quiet and whatever, but like he's a killer in the cage. I'm so happy for his success. So I am going with Erosa over Jourdain. That was from Fight Night on September 4th. And let me just show a quick video of this one because I love this one.
You know, and the path of least resistance, and there's no resistance there.
Wow, that's tight. Deep. Yeah, that's in real deep. Jourdain goes on top.
Ruben Erosa rises again. Submits Joel Jourdain. How about this kid, man?
That was a beautiful setup, John.
That was a great, great finish. So I'm going to go with Juicy J. Prince, take it away. Who do you have?
All right, guys, I'm going to put a little glitch in the matrix. I'm gonna put Nunez inverted triangle armbar over Anderson, just because it's the complexity, and also it sounds like a really like it sounds like a Starbucks order, like a multicolor latte. Like, look at that! Like, it's such a complicated submission. Like, even when I was looking at it, what do you even call that? It's just call it the tap. But I'm picking Nunez just because of, you know, I've never seen it before. Have you guys seen that type of submission before? Matt, have you ever seen that submission before?
I don't think from the way she did it from behind. Like, it was at a really weird angle. Honestly, that was probably the other one I had up in the air with the Khamzat one.
Yeah, that was very impressive. That fight was not going well for poor Megan.
Not at all.
No, I think we did a podcast about that, Prince, and you termed it the taco sub.
Because
it was a TKO, pretty much TKO'd her down to the ground, and then subbed her with an armbar and subbed her with a triangle choke. It was like she was like getting beat three times in one fight. It was nasty.
Yeah, that's the first time actually I've seen Nunez actually take somebody to the ground and like actually submit somebody. I'm like, oh my gosh, who's gonna stop this person, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my pick. Oh man, so what are we gonna do now? Like, do we have to
what do you
fight
mean? It's over. Khamzat wins. Two votes for Khamzat, one vote for everyone else. But that, I mean, this was a good category, man. We had a bunch of subs. We also had like a bunch of other write-ins too. But the winner goes to Khamzat versus Lee. So congratulations to Khamzat. Yes, very nice. All righty. Second last category of the day, we are going to go to our knockout of the year. Oh boy. All right. So for knockout of the year, we have some good categories. We have our returning guest of the podcast, Chris Barnett, with the KO over Gian Vellante. You've got Rose Namajunas over Wei Li Zhang. You've got Kamaru over Masvidal, and you've got Edson Barboza over Shane Burgos. Everybody loves that one. I do have video clips if you need to be reminded. But Dr. Jimmy, I think you are first, my friend.
All right. Again, another great selection of choices here. So we talked about Kamaru just in the previous category for male fighter. That knockout was just gorgeous, like a beautiful straight right hand right down the middle. Put the lights out. It was phenomenal. Rose versus Wei Li. This one is definitely on the top of my list, and one of my favorite options, just because the setup was so beautiful. Like, you know, she's got that, you know, that Taekwondo stance, that side stance. She's got that, she put that little hop in, followed by that lightning fast clip to the face. It was beautiful to watch. I love that. The Barboza Burgos one was interesting because that was that delayed knockout, right? Like he got yeah, clipped with the right hand, and then he gets back in the pocket, and then all of a sudden it's like the bell started ringing like a second later, and that was it. He was down. And then Barnett Villante, just because of, you know, how crazy that knockout was, is so awesome. But I gotta go with Rose on this one. Rose Weili is my pick for knockout, just because I love the setup. I love the kick. It was just, you know, like razor sharp, textbook perfect, and followed it up with the, you know, finishing the fight. That's my pick for knockout of the year.
Dr. Jim, you sound like a walking sports center, play by play, like play by play. Oh my gosh, like unbelievable, like a walking ESPN.
Told you guys, I did my homework, man.
You know, you've done more homework for this podcast than DC has done for the last seven events.
I gotta throw him under the bus.
Allegedly. Jim, that was a good breakdown of all of the knockouts, and so you're going with Rose. Does it matter that Weili wasn't really knocked out? I feel like that was close.
You know what? That's a good point. That is a good point. She definitely was lights out for the second that she went down, but that is a very good point. Yeah, she. All right. Well, then you just threw a wrench in the whole thing for me.
No, thanks, man. That's fine. I also paid for that pay per view, and I was very mad at that stoppage because I felt like I didn't get my money's worth. All right, Prince ED, knockout of the year. What do you got?
Knockout of the year. I've got it for our boy Chris the Beast Boy Barnett, 250 pounds, soaking wet. Hook kick to the man's temple. You can't go wrong. I'm all about the complexity and how tough to land a knockout like that. I mean, he didn't really get knocked out by the hook kick, but I mean, the hook kick in itself and also the front flip after, like, come on, you got to give the man props, right? So,
yeah. So, okay. So you're going with Chris Barnett.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. That was a good one. I should show that one actually, because that is a good one. And when we had him on the podcast, we did not show it. So let me show the Barnett hook.
And he hits John Vellante back in. Oh my goodness.
I mean, a thing of beauty, man.
That was like a capoeira kick, man. Look, he had his hand down. Yep. He was like, you know, splits. Oh, it's just crazy. Crazy.
Insanity, man. Insanity. Yeah. Matt, who do you have as knockout of the year?
Well, you guys kind of alluded to the point that it's different when somebody gets TKO'd versus an actual knockout.
Yeah.
And I do have to throw a little honorable mention in Ignacio Bahamondes with his wheel kick knockout. I think that one was insane.
Yeah, he got a lot of votes, Matt. That was a write-in that got a lot of votes.
But since he's not on the list, I'm going to have to go with the other person who did put their man out, and that's Kamaru Usman over Jorge Masvidal.
Oh, man. Dang it. Did you see that coming, that knockout? Like, I mean, did you expect that in that fight?
I knew he had the power for it, but I thought Usman wasn't slick enough to actually catch him.
Yeah. No, that was a good fight, man. So now we've got one vote for Chris Barnett, one vote for Rose, and one vote for
Usman.
Usman. The fans voted 80% in favor of the person that shared it on their story, which was Chris Barnett.
Wow.
Chris Barnett had a flood of fans come in and vote for him. So he got 80% of the fan vote. So that gives him two votes. Man, after talking with that guy and seeing what kind of person he is, that hook kick was insane. I'm going to, though, give my honorable mention vote because it won't matter. Anyways, I'm going to go with Barboza over Burgos. I've never seen anything like that before, man. Like, I mean, I've never seen such a delayed reaction to a punch like that and the way he just stumbled back and fell. And Burgos is a monster. like a total monster. He's a great guy. So that was my knockout of the year, was Barboza. But the winner goes to
Chris the Beast Boy Barnett. And you know what, Chris? You know what? Thanks to you, our TikTok was down for 3 days. Okay, so thanks. Unreal.
Yeah,
that's crap.
And we did tell Chris that he was in our end of year awards show, and he said that if he wins an award, it's going at the top of his mantle. So we may actually have to purchase something to send him so we can see that displayed in his house.
Right? Tim, we're not purchasing anything. I'm making that bad boy out of popsicle sticks. Okay. Oh, elementary school flags, right?
You gotta make the logo.
Yep, make the logo. Dr. Jim, are you free on Saturday? I might need a little
help. Yeah, man. I'll bring some white glue and we'll just like stick some. I'm sure my 6-year-old has a bunch of popsicle sticks I can bring down.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, actually, I was just going to take some of the shingles off of your roof. We were going to use that.
Yeah, I don't mind. Okay? Sure. Come on over.
Okay.
You know where I live.
Oh, that's great.
That's totally fine. All righty. We are down to our last category. We have the Fight of the Year nominees. We had tons. This one was pretty crazy. We had lots of nominees for Fight of the Year. There were tons of write-in votes, like across the board, man, just like as many fights as you could think about. But we've narrowed it down here on the screen. I feel like this might even be wrong, actually. Actually, okay, so what happened? Okay, let me just say it here. So Fight of the Year nominees, you've got Gaethje and Chandler, Green versus Fiziev, Nunes versus Pena, Holloway versus Rodriguez. But the fan vote, just to throw a wrench in it, was 60% for Ortega and Volkanovski. That, I mean, that does show too how impressive that fight was, that it wasn't on our list, and 60% of the votes were write-ins for that one. Like, that's the fight that has stuck into people's heads for the year. So Ortega Volkanovski gets the first vote for their fight at UFC 266. I'm going to go first on this one, and I'm going to give it to my man, Bobby Green, who didn't even win the fight, but God dang, that is an amazing fight. I just rewatched it. My hairs on my arms stand up. That fight was like on the undercard of the event. And Bobby Green has the crowd cheering like insane, right? The way he's like throwing his hands up and the crowd is screaming for Bobby Green. Man, that guy puts on a show every fight. And Fiziev is a monster. That is my fight of the year, which was Bobby Green versus Rafael Fiziev. Matt, who do you have for fight of the year?
I think it's definitely got to be a really even fight when it comes to fight of the year, not just one guy getting beat up.
Yeah,
the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
And it also goes down to two guys that just look like tanks and not backing down and just taking damage. Like, that doesn't, it can't be explained. It feels like they're from another planet. I got to go with Chandler Gaethje.
Okay. All right. Did you watch that one live?
Yeah, and I couldn't believe the kinds of shots Chandler was taking, especially. It just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, that one was insane. Prince, I've said it before on the podcast that my wife will not watch a Justin Gaethje fight. She watched him fight once and she's like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? Like, how disgusting is this? then she saw him a second time, and like midway through, she's like, I'm out of here, left. And on this fight, which was UFC 268, he's walking out to the cage and she's like, oh no. And she left. And then she could just hear me screaming. She could hear the TV, like the crowd going crazy. And she's like, is that Gaethje guy? And I'm like, yep. She's like, no. Like, his fights are gross, man. Just gross. So I get the pick, man. Every fight of his is a fight of the year. Dr. Jim, who do you have?
My top two that I had the biggest difficulty trying to decide which, in my opinion, was the better fight for the year. Gaethje Chandler was insane. Like, Chandler kind of reminds, remember Sean Sherk? Remember like the shorter, really stocky, thick guy? He's got that build, and he is the punishment that this guy took, and both of them, like, they were just throwing bombs back and forth. But I feel like, you know, Gaethje did get the upper hand, and he had that one beautiful uppercut. And I forgot if it was second or third round, which was just stellar. But that was an insane fight to watch. And then you got Holloway Yair. This was another incredible fight, because what Holloway's boxing is just mind blowing. Like, you watch this guy throw hands and it's insane. But then you got Yair, who was throwing, I think he was winning in the kicking game, man. Like, he had these beautiful, beautiful kicks, and he's coming from different angles and he's mixing it up really well. But between the two choices, I got to go with Gaethje Chandler as well. Like, that was just an insane, insane, amazing fight to watch. However, the Volkanovski Volkanovski Ortega, that was another insane fight. That was such an incredibly good fight. But based on the list that you've given us, I got to go with Chandler Gaethje on that one.
All right, Chandler Gaethje. Does it bother anybody that, like, in the last 15 seconds of that fight, it seemed like Gaethje respectfully kind of stopped attacking, and Chandler was kind of just kind of dancing around a little bit, like almost like, okay, he knew he lost at that point. It's like, look, I don't need to die here today. Like, he kind of like hopped around a little bit, and Gaethje I feel like we saw him in the cowboy fight where he laid off and didn't want to hit anymore. It seemed like he kind of like didn't push that last 10 seconds. Matt, to your point, you're like, hey, I need it to be like an all-out war, but that last 10 seconds didn't bother you?
No, and the only reason is because of the example of Yair versus Korean Zombie. You never know.
Yeah.
So I don't blame the guy for just saying, I'm gonna go ahead and take this one.
Yeah, no, that was crazy. All right, so that's two votes for Gaethje Chandler, one for Green Fiziev, and one for Ortega Volk. Prince, you are the deciding factor on fight of the year. You're going to make it a tie. You're going to go with your gut.
Yeah, guy, you know what? I'm going to go with, I can't believe none of you guys picked this. I'm going to go with Rodriguez versus Holloway. Like, man, that was a back and forth fight. They were throwing elbows, kicks, you name it. You should have seen Yair's leg. Like, his right leg was swollen, right? And I think fight of the year should be based on the amount of blood lost. At the end of it, I bet you, even when the reason why I really like this fight, which is because at the very end you see them congratulating each other, like, you know, going the ambulance. To me, I'm just like, man, that's it, that's love, right? So I'm gonna go with Yair and Rodriguez, right? So I mean, Chandler and Gaethje, I mean, they had a really, it was a good fight. There, a lot of blood was lost there too as well, but I'm going with Rodriguez.
I'm pretty sure that's the first commandment of the sport. Just bleed.
Yes, that's right. That's that is the rule. That is the rule. All right. So the winner of the fight of the year for the Fight Insight Awards is going to be Gaethje versus Chandler, UFC 268. It did, of course, win the fight of the night that day, but we have it as our fight of the year. So that was a huge fight, man. If you have not seen that fight, go back and watch that fight.
crazy
insane. All right, that does it for our year-end awards show. So, you know, this whole year has been filled with amazing fights. Matt, is there anything that stuck out to you just overall in the year? Like, is there anything that you're excited for, or I guess let's say, what about for next year? Like, what are you looking forward to next year?
For next year, hopefully more places opening up. I doubt it. But if it can, I just want to see more of the international fighters get a chance to actually fight in the UFC. And, you know, there's a bunch of guys. One guy that I'm going to call for at least breaking into the top five is Gamrot.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
He's an absolute stud. I think he's definitely going to be in the mix soon.
Nice, nice. Yeah.
But, Matt, that's totally fine. They could do it via Zoom. Right, that's
Zoom fight. That'd be nice.
Why not? Right, or maybe metaverse. Like, who knows? This could be a thing.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, we'll see how that technology turns out. Matt, you're the only one here that is in the States. I mean, we're all around Toronto, Canada here. The rest of us in the States, are you still like crazy locked down? Like, what is things getting worse?
It was supposed to be more like the mandates coming back, but I just walk into stores and I see people walking around still without their masks, and it seems like even the stores don't really care that much. So
yeah.
It's kind of just depends where you're at, honestly.
Yeah,
there are some places that are heavier with it. Like if I just go to another county like Los Angeles, then it's probably going to be a lot worse.
Oh, okay, okay. But in terms of fights, do you guys still have like events running and stuff like for yourself? Like, I know you were just in a jiu-jitsu competition not too long ago, and
For some reason, that still seems to be all open and fine. I don't, it's very confusing times, but if we could compete, we're not complaining.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. Jim, what do you have for next year? What are you looking forward to next year?
I'm looking forward to coming on the Fight Insight podcast again in the near future. And we got that show to do. We got to talk about that oblique kick. So that's coming up. And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to come down the pipe with the UFC. Like they have such a phenomenal, you know, assortment of fighters there. And I think that they're going to put on some amazing shows. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to seeing some more great fights and coming on and chatting about it.
Nice. Matt, that was the answer we were expecting from you.
Yeah, Matt, I forwarded you the email. It was all there. The memo sent, like, unbelievable, bro.
I think it went to my spam.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, man.
Prince, what do you have for next year? What are you excited for next year?
Well, like, I'm excited with, you know what, for me, it's the fights that's going to come out next year. I mean, we've got Gon and Ganu that's going to come up first of the second week of January, I think. So that's going to be a big fight. I'm excited for more shows, more exciting things happening for Fight Insight podcast. A lot of things. You know what? We're just keeping things like tight lipped just because when it drops, oh my gosh, one tier right here. Ooh, yeah.
All right. For myself, I think I'm going to go a little bit with the Matt Queso answer. I want to get rid of the goddamn UFC Apex. I cannot stand that thing. I don't want to see fights in that small little arena with like 13 people in the crowd. Like, I do not like that at all. It really, especially when you go from like a pay-per-view one weekend and then the next weekend you're in the Apex. Mm. I feel like it just doesn't do the fighters justice. Like, it's not giving them the exposure or the excitement or the energy, right? Like, I'm not a fan of that at all. And 1FC has continued to be in empty arenas. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys are watching, but they're just literally in empty arenas. And now they've been sticking up little like pretend cell phones around the arena so it looks like there's people in it. Like, I'm like, what the hell is this? That's terrible, man. I don't like that. I want to see full arenas. I want to see crowds, like good sized crowds for fights. That's what I look forward to. And I shout out again to 1FC. I want to see more of their atom weight fighters, like the 115 pounders. I want to see more of their fighters. I'm surprised that after the Grand Prix, they have this giant roster of fighters that all did extremely well. And we haven't seen any of them compete after the Grand Prix yet. Every round, like there were less and less. And we didn't see the other fighters coming up. So I'm very excited to see more of their fighters. I think they should be highlighting more of those guys. But yeah, that's my expectation for next year.
Hey, man, I'm just going to say something, man. It's just as bad up here too, right? Don't get it twisted. I mean, you know, I think a day ago, I saw one guy wearing his mask as an eye shield. Like, it's a gong show up here, man. I'm telling you.
It's way worse in Canada. No, it's crazy here. It's way worse. There was just a quote by one of our political leaders that said, regardless of the fact that we're attacking your fundamental rights, we're still going to go ahead and do it. Like, it's
wow.
Like, here it's really bad. There's actually a show that was supposed to occur in Ontario. There's a Bellator fighter, bantamweight, Josh the Gentleman Hill. He has a gym out in Hamilton, south of us. And he was really upset because like the day before an event was supposed to take place, they shut it down. And so here, like, they're not running anything as far as I know. So, yeah.
And they're actually implementing online social distancing. So the box that we're in, we're going to have to be 6 feet apart. Like,
I'll just go in the corner of the box.
The corner,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you have to.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
see.
It.
Yeah,
and keep your masks on too during the podcast. So
yeah, that will soon be mandated. Matt, for you, what's going on with your training and stuff? Like, for the people that love you and that saw you on our podcast before, what's up with you and when are you fighting next?
I'm just trying to take it one step at a time. You know, I don't like the fact that I got finished for the first time, even though it felt like an early stoppage to me. But, you know, if I just let that be what's in my mind, then I'm not going to grow. But just focusing on trying to make it more often with this new job. It's busier and it's a lot more to balance, but you know, if you want it, you got to get after it.
Yeah, for sure, buddy. Well, you know that we are here to support you like all the time, man, whatever you need. We really appreciate you coming on the podcast, like, you know, especially as a nice surprise to Prince, who had no idea you were coming. But yeah, man.
Matt, I'm telling you, man, you almost gave me a heart attack. I'm like, there's a fourth person coming. I'm like, Timmy, we didn't rehearse this. I am co-signing on this. And when you came in, oh my gosh, my heart, man. I'm so happy you're here, buddy. Like, I'm so happy. And, you know, you've always been a great supporter. And Matt, I wish you nothing but success. I want to see a belt on that waist.
Yeah. That's exactly what I want.
Yeah.
And this is sure. pretty much my sparring shirt now. I bring the power of the podcast every time I go sparring.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, we love it, man. We appreciate it. I will give a little shout out on our podcast. What we do is we do a Friends of the Podcast update. So we just, you know, talk about some people that have appeared on the show and what's been happening with them. Raquel Pennington last weekend, beautiful finish to her fight. She looked better than she ever has. She fought an opponent on short notice in Macy Chiazon. Won by a 10-finger choke. That's not something you see a lot. Matt, that choke really hurts, man. I remember Sean Pearson, former UFC fighter. He was showing that to me in training. That is like a nasty choke. Is that something you practice?
I actually missed that one. Is that like the...
It's like the one... Front? Yeah, it's like the one where you're like right on top of the head. Like,
I have felt that one. Dan was showing that in the gym and I happened to be the dummy for that one. So my throat was just hurting for like 2 days after that.
Matt, how do you set it up? How do you set it up?
It's kind of like going under and you're pretty much going over at the same time.
Yeah.
Like crushing the head.
It's a really gross choke, man. Like
that, and Dan's really good at that one. When you've got that wrestler grip, it's horrible.
Yeah, no, I do not envy you for that training session, Matt. The other friend of the podcast update I do want to give is Julia Avila, the Raging Panda. She was supposed to fight Raquel. She ended up needing surgery, so she did undergo surgery. I think just a few days ago she came out of surgery. It seems like she's doing well, and she's already looks like she's posting like doing well and doing some rehab and stuff. So we wish her all the best and hope that she gets better. And that she has a very happy 2022 because she's on the rise too. So we're excited for her. And next week for our final episode of the season, we have a very interesting guest. So we've got Gita Marie Figueroa. I probably said that wrong and I apologize. We'll get it right when she's here. But Gita the Man Eater, she is a transgender fighter who is going to be making a very interesting call out on our podcast. So we're very excited to talk to her just about her life, her situation, and her fighting career, which some people will think is controversial, but I think you got to listen to the podcast to hear what she's going to say and who her call out is. It's going to be extremely exciting. So be sure next week to check that out. That's going to be our last podcast of the year, Prince.
Yep, that's it. And guys, also a special thanks to our sponsors, Midday Squares. Use Fight Insight 15 to get 15% on your first order. And shout out to Hula Cleaning Services. Contact Hula Cleaning Services for all your carpet, fitness, commercial, construction cleaning needs. You can find them at www.hulacleaning.com.
Nice. All right, guys. Well, Happy New Year to you guys. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Man, it was so nice to have you guys on. I hope that next year we can have the award show again if we're still doing this, if I haven't died yet from exhaustion. of running this podcast. It is killing me. Yeah. It is a great time, man. Thank you guys to everyone. Thank you to the fans. Thank you to listeners. Thanks to all our guests. We do have a very nice, what will you call it, Prince? Like a montage or?
A montage. You guys, I'm telling you, it's going to bring a tear to your eye. I brought out all the stops for this bad boy. I've got like, my gosh, the amount of R&B songs I got bumping in this bad boy. You guys are laughing now.
You think that 0.5 font was difficult on this screen? You just wait, guys. It's going to be almost impossible to read anything. No, it is a good video, man. It's going to be so exciting. Jim, I'm not even lying. Like I literally was kind of tearing up when Prince showed me some of the drafts of it. It's a really good video, so we're happy for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, guys, I'm so happy that both of you could come. Prince, before we go, is there anything you want to say?
Guys, again, you know, Matt, Dr. Jim, thank you so much. You guys aren't friends of the podcast. You're family of the podcast.
That's right. That's a new term. A new term.
Family of the podcast. Matt Cuen, the tear on the right cheek. There you go. That's what beautiful. I'm talking about. Right. Excellent. Perfect. That's good.
Matt, is there anything that you want to say before you go, buddy?
I just want to say thank you to you guys. You know, definitely appreciate you guys all the time. I love your content, and I just can't wait to watch more episodes and maybe be on again for the next year round.
Of course, buddy. And before that, like anything that you ever had that you need to, give a shout out or that you want to promote, definitely just hit us up, man. You're welcome any day of the week, 100%.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, buddy. And Dr. Jim, resident medical expert, the guy with the best laugh in the podcast history. What do you
I'll
got?
Take it. Jimmy? I'll take it.
What do you got?
Well, first I want to say pleasure to meet you, Matt. It's a great doing this podcast with you as well. And who knows, maybe one day if I end up in California, we'll have a sit down and I get to watch you throw down too. That would be awesome. And I want to say, guys, thank you so much again for having me on. And congratulations on all the amazing successes. You guys are doing so incredibly well. I love the cast that you, the people you have coming up on the podcast and everything that, you have planned for the future. You guys are going to do amazingly well. And I just want to, like I said, when we did our first show together, when we were talking about those calf kicks, I'm so honored to come up here and do the show with you guys. I'd love to come and do it again. So I'm looking forward to 2022, and I think it's going to be a phenomenal year. You guys are going to do great.
Jim, mm-hmm. This was not a setup for like a love fest. Is anything about you? Anything exciting coming up for you?
I don't know. Christmas is coming up, man. I'm happy. I'm excited. I get to hang out with my family, and I'm loving that part of it. Taking some time off of work, and that's what I got. I'm a simple guy, and I like some simple simple pleasures, and that's what it is.
All right, guys.
When did this podcast get so emotional?
Right, it's right crazy. There, bro. Right there,
guys.
Bro.
Really appreciate it, man. This is a good podcast to do. This is just like, in that holiday week. So, we want to just have some fun. So thank you so much, guys. Thank you for all the fun stuff. This is great.
Oh, yeah. No. Just because Tim, you forgot the popper, man. Unbelievable. This guy, for you guys, end of the year ceremony. Woo!
All right.
Shit.
There you go. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, all right, guys. We're gonna have take care, guys.
Have a good one. See you, man. Take care.